Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Mr. Davis, joined for the first time in 2021. Remember when we said this was the start of the new decade? A lot of people got angry that the idea of zero being the start of the decade is that's incorrect. It's actually number 10. That's the end of the previous decade. While for you people, you incorrect, wrong people, me and Luke haven't done a podcast this entire decade until now. I'm joined by lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Mr. Davis. Boy, it's good to be back talking with you again and doing these podcasts.
I thought you were going to say something else after that.
Well, I mean, no, I was just saying it. I'm really happy to be back and doing this podcast. I listened to the ones that you and Pete did last week. I text you to say, I think that Pete massively undersold your story that you told him about the kid who falls into the world of kayfabe. Thought it was a brilliant little story. And he had the audacity to look at his phone.
It was just the when you said that, the way you said it was, I'm just excited to be back here on the podcast. But you had an inflection where you were going to carry on talking.
Oh, I see. No.
Me, how the devil are you?
Oh, of course. Well, sorry. How the devil are you?
You're out of practice.
Clearly I am.
Because I've asked you multiple times to not ask me that. It's always the same now. We're always in lockdown. I have got no real new anecdotes. Even over the Christmas break. Very flat. Not much new happened. And I'm prepping for you to say, how the devil are you? And you fake me out.
Sorry, man.
Randy Orton, I feel like you hopped up to do the phenomenal forearm. And I have gone for a full-blown RKO. Only a little hop.
Just to quickly double-check, are you on the right microphone there, man?
Probably not. Here was me accusing you of being... Oh, I am on the correct microphone, according to this.
Do I not stand correct? No, I think you sound fine. It's just your audio cuts out a little bit. No, you are definitely on the right microphone. Yep, that's a gross sound. But tell you what, now that we've got those technical issues out of the way, let's get into the podcast itself, and then we can talk about how the devil you are in the outro. Here is the show.
Did Alexa Bliss blind... Sorry, that was just my echo going off. Did she blind Randy Orton at the end of last night's episode of Raw? And was it awful? Bit of a loaded question. We could ask, was it good? Alexa, stop. She said she's not sure. She doesn't know whether it was awful or not. I'm Mr. Davis. I'm joined for the first time in 2021. Lukewarm Lou Gowen. How's it feel to be back?
It feels great to be back. Very happy to be here. But I didn't. I've not watched Raw for 2 whole weeks. 2 gloriously beautiful weeks where I have not had to watch Raw. And this was not a fun one to come back to.
Do you want me to catch you up on a few things that have happened in the short time you've been away?
Well, Goldberg's back. I noticed that from this show. Goldberg is back and he's going to be at the Royal Rumble. And I think that's broadly it.
Adam Pearce is challenging Roman Reigns for the Blue Universal Championship on SmackDown at the Royal Rumble.
You say that, but I heard they're cancelling the Royal Rumble.
Whole thing.
The whole...
And Ric Flair's horny and back as a weekly character.
Awesome. Great. Mm. But it wasn't just Legends one night. It was Legends forever, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So the main talking point from last night's episode, and there's a few, you know, mostly, of course, the sort of extenuating circumstances WWE found them in. There has been a reported coronavirus outbreak, not just in WWE, but amongst other companies as well. And it looks like it's going to affect a lot of stuff, at least in the short term. The biggest name, probably one of the biggest names that could come up with a positive case, was Drew McIntyre. He was originally meant to fight Randy Orton in the main event of this show. That was already announced, but they had to pull it. The whole show, it seems, had to be rewritten. You had a lot of people pulling double duty. So you'd have Jeff Hardy, Keith Lee and Sheamus, Matt Riddle. They all wrestled twice, back to back, just to sort of pad out the time.
Which was, I found to be a very odd decision, because WWE, you know, they looked at this and were like, oh no, Smeg, we've actually got a really short, like small talent pool that we could use from. We're going to have to make them wrestle twice. I wonder if there was one like dissenting voice that said, should we just let AJ Styles and Drew Gulak go 20 minutes? They're like, no, that has to go 90 seconds. Make Jeff Hardy wrestle twice. Do we, Matt Riddle, Bobby Lashley, do you want to get that going to be longer? No, that's 2 minutes. Make him wrestle twice.
Asuka. How about Raw Women's Champion Asuka? She could have a match.
So apparently, so Sean said, well, I was listening to the Fightful review, and he said, like, it's unknown what the, like, where Asuka is at the moment. Like, they don't know if she's injured or anything like that. But yeah, that's why she wasn't on TV this week.
Well, she was on last week's show. But anyway, there was a lot of rewrites. But one thing that wasn't rewritten, I'm pretty sure this was always the scheduled end to the show. They just went through a new route to get there because it was pre-recorded, because it was freaking insane. And you couldn't do it live. So Randy Orton was meant to face Drew McIntyre, but oh no, we haven't got him. To their credit, I thought they pulled Triple H out of the bag quite well. But then it was sort of a bait and switch thing where they never really had a proper main event. Triple H dropped Orton on the announcer's desk, then got a sledgehammer out from underneath the ring. You know, 5 minutes, 4 minutes of that was entrance. And then the lights turn off Fiend style.
Yeah, they started to turn off and Triple H sort of like, he noticed it, but didn't really pay much attention to it. And he pulled out the old sledgehammer and then he goes to step into the ring. And all of a sudden, the sledgehammer is on fire.
Cool visual. Like,
yeah, it was a cool visual. Yeah, I thought he'd set it on fire at first. Like, I thought he was doing it as like a, is this symbolic? But it turns out, like, when I was, you know, spoke to people, like, no, it was Alexa Bliss that made it on fire.
Alexa, like, oh, fists.
I did not pick up on that whatsoever.
But I thought it might be like, because there was no shot of him pouring gasoline on it. That would have been much cooler. I thought he might have a button. Like a really extravagant lighter.
Well, you get those lighters, don't you? Like the little gun lighters for like, you know, doing gas hobs and things like that. But yeah, and then the lights went fully out. He just disappeared. He Thanos'd into midair. And then Alexa Bliss was standing there and she threw a Hadouken and blinded Randy Orton in the face. Mm. And that was how the show went off the air. I wrote in my notes, word for word, I'm too old to watch this show. And that's how I felt when this show finished. I'm too old to be watching this.
Did you sort of sigh and go, I'm getting too old for this S word?
Yeah, no. I mean, more just like, oh, I'm going to have to watch this again next week because that's that's my job. But yeah, it was. I was not a fan of this. But I would say that the reason why I'm probably not a fan of this is because I'm not invested in this storyline anyway. But I understand, you know, we went through the comments on the WWE's YouTube video. People seem really into this. So I think it is a case of just like, it's not that this is rubbish. It's just, it's not for me and I'm not into this. But I think that people really are digging this.
Yeah, it's interesting because I felt the same. I thought, like, even as a supernatural story, is this a good supernatural story? I don't think it is. I'm not. The whole Randy Orton Fiend Bliss feud has not been that good, I don't think. You know, we all, not for us at least. Mm. And maybe it's good for younger viewers. Like, I can't do that. I can't put my head back in like an adult mind back watching The Undertaker or Kane when he was doing all these supernatural stuff.
Yeah, but we said this during TLC.
Like, exactly.
Hannah, like her kids were watching this, and they were enraptured. They didn't care about anything else on the show, but they were like enraptured by the Inferno match at the end.
But we said this from the start with The Fiend's debut back in 2019. The real power of the character and the appeal came from the idea that it wasn't supernatural.
No, exactly.
It was just a man who was broken. And he's very psyche is fractured into two opposing parts, Bray Wyatt and The Fiend. And as soon as you start, you know, he can appear in the ring because I can explain that away. It's mind games, lights come on and off. But when other people start to disappear, when other people start to appear and all this fire stuff, it was not for me. I didn't get the sense I'm too old for this because I've seen plenty more stupid. Mm-hmm. But I just had too many questions, you know, and I thought it played very goofily.
Well, the other side of this as well that I don't think many people have brought up is that we're building to an Inferno match we've already had. Mm. Like we are once again booking this feud backwards. This feud has started with the fire match and is now carrying on this fire motif. Are we going to just build towards a regular match? Because surely you want to do all of this fire stuff and then be like, and now we're going to have an Inferno match.
Well, that might have been the plan originally. Remember that first burning angle, the first fire angle, was the go-home show. And then it was very late in the day where they were like, nah, make it a fire. Funhouse flight fire match at TLC, and now they're if that was the just a straight up match, and now you get all the fire build, that makes total sense. But no, maybe they can build to an even more fire match, and I'm not even being sarcastic when I say that, because you can do a cinematic concept to it. Mm-hmm. Fiend's character is of that style. Fiend and Orton have had a lot of cinematic stuff this year, it feels like, or last year as well.
Yeah.
But in the remarkable reaction to this, because it was definitely the biggest thing on the show. Mm. Drew saying, admitting he's got COVID, I think is huge as well, but that's, you know, not storyline based, it's real based. Biggest storyline point of the show. And it has done remarkably well on the YouTube clips. 1.2 million views.
Whoa.
And that was first 10 hours.
And that was like 200,000 when I got up this morning. So like, you know, like 6 o'clock this morning when I looked at that, it was like 200,000. That was like 1 million. That's huge. You said it was like the number two trending video on all of YouTube.
Let me click on it now and find out. Yeah. When we looked at it in the morning, it was number two trending. Now it's number four. In all of YouTube. So, and you know, 38,000 thumbs up, 1,500 thumbs down. A lot of the comments are positive. I saw on Reddit, the reaction was also generally positive, but it was more of an ironic kind. You know, like, it's super effective. Hadouken. Alexa's got fire powers now. So, generally, when WWE has success with a YouTube clip, they equate it to a good story. We saw this a lot with Aaliyah Mysterio in the Rey Mysterio storyline and Buddy Murphy and all that stuff. Any thumbnail with Aaliyah on it did way better than other videos. So they started pushing Aaliyah more. And I, you know, that makes total sense. You can't argue with those numbers.
Nope.
But back to the, just before we get into the the Hyper Chats for your opinions. Remember, WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. I don't like it.
Yeah, and I don't, it's the same with the Inferno match at TLC. Like, it wasn't for me. I thought the ending was incredibly goofy. I thought Bray Wyatt setting a mannequin on fire looked a bit crap. And it's, you know, WWE wanted to, like, they always say, we make movies, and I think they make bad movies sometimes. Mm. And this was just another example of just, it's a bad movie. And as much as I love a good bad movie, this isn't for me. It's not the storyline I'm most invested in on Raw, which, I mean, in sort of the grand scheme of things, I'm not invested in a lot of the stories on Raw at the moment. Is it the one I'm less invested in? Jeff Hardy versus Elias. But
oh, come on. There's loads worse on Raw.
There's way worse. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying the fire feud is in any way good or to my taste, but it is by far not the worst thing on Raw.
We'll get to the Charlotte stuff. But yeah, it's not for me. So I don't know if I would go as far as to call it awful, because I can see that it's effective, right? I can see that it is working for a lot of people. But for me personally, it's not working.
Mm. I guess, you know, when do you make the call? YouTube, you know, you can't discount YouTube views.
Nope.
But if it has no real effect on the TV ratings, do you still do it because it's getting big numbers on YouTube?
I mean, I guess so, because like that's one of their metrics that they measure, right? Mm. Like Vince always says in the investors calls, like, yeah, TV ratings are down, but look how good our YouTube numbers are. Like, and we're counting YouTube numbers and Facebook plays and stuff on Twitter. Like, you know, they count like all of their people under contract, their follower counts, they count within like the WWE follower count, like total, right? So like, I think they just all look at this and be like, yeah, this is working. People are really into this. This is a good metric for us to follow. I mean, they're probably going to do quite bad in the ratings this week anyway, because they're up against a college football game that was going to do really well, which is why they booked Drew versus Randy in the first place. And I think it says a lot about WWE that their replacement for Drew versus Randy was Randy versus Triple H, because there's no one else that's a star that will make people stick around and watch. So they were like, well, Smeg, we've got to pull out the Triple H guns, I guess. Put a t-shirt on, mate.
Well, I think it's safe to say we're getting a sequel to this terrible movie that neither of us like, because it's so successful on YouTube.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of the WrestleTalk podcast is brought to you by the good folk over at manscaped.com.
One of the most painful things in life for us blokey blokes is pulling a hair out of our nose with tweezers.
No joke, I did it the other night while watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer, though I did it with my fingers because I'm a man and I really wish I hadn't because it really hurt. And then I felt sad and I was unable to enjoy Willow's traumatic journey to becoming Dark Willow.
Oh God, you're an idiot.
I am?
Because you should have used Manscaped's Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Trimmer. A trimmer they've spent over a year developing, reinventing the traditional nose trimmer into something way more effective. A 9,000 RPM motor, 360-degree rotary dual blade system, contoured 23-degree angle, water-resistant tech, and a lithium-ion battery that lasts so long I've had mine for 6 months and have yet to charge it.
So start off your 2021 right by upgrading your Manscaped routine to include the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Trimmer. And you can get 20% off with free international shipping by using our promo code WTTV at manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com with the promo code WTTV to get 20% off and free international shipping.
Thanks, Manscaped, for making me a better man.
And thanks for letting me enjoy Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Let's see what you guys think. Remember, WrestleTalk.com/support. Get your hyper chats in there. Marcel Arts. Hey, Waldmeister King here, of course. How do you like those apples? Just wanted to say that fireballs is a totally legit foreign object since the 70s or even longer. Even Cornette has no problem with them. And by the way, this is my first super chat message. Hooray. Oh, thank you. Long-time Patreon.
It is, yeah. I mean, I don't think, has anyone said this is a new thing? Like, yeah, fireballs have been around for, like, forever. Mm.
So I think I know what Marcel is saying there, because you can have people come into the ring and they can do a fireball and it's like a legit weapon. It's not a supernatural weapon. I think the problem with this fireball, it was very much presented as Bliss has firepower.
Yes, this wasn't flash paper. This was, I've shot a fire. I am Super Mario and I've got the fire flower and I'm shooting a fireball at you.
Oh, I guess we should also ask. So Orton's going to be blind next week.
Well, that's it, right? Because like he was like rolling around in the ring and the commentators would be like, oh my God, like I can't believe what Alex Bliss just did to him. Like he is definitely blind now, right? I have to get those goggles out again so he can see in the dark.
I bet he's like, why didn't I wear the welding goggles? They were appropriate here. So Bliss has posted on Instagram with that caption with an eye for an eye. And I said it in my review earlier. I was just like, frickin' get your thematic tone. Because this is, yes, it is a revenge story, but you just did an eye versus an eye storyline very literally in July or June. This is a fire story.
Yeah.
Make it about you know, you play with fire, you get burned. It's not like you're at a loss for sayings there. But I don't know. Autumn better show up blind next week, at least for a while. And he's got, I don't know how you even do that though. Siren God Goddess 034. I'm just glad we didn't have a Hogan spot with Bliss fumbling with the stuff to make a fireproof in Autumn's face. Fireproof, sorry. Always love you guys. Keep up the great content. Jam that jam. Thank you.
Jam that jam. Thank you very much, Stone Goddess. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the benefit of doing it as a pre-taped thing, right? Like, you don't have the Hogan, oh, no, it's live, pal, and I'm on pay-per-view, and there's, like, 30,000 people here, and I'm fumbling to get this. Oh, no, I burnt my mustache and my eyebrows. like, yeah, you could pre-tape it, do it as many times as you want until you get it right.
Matthew Robinson, I don't think it was bad or good. I'm just tired of having a legend or someone in the ring, and then they just Thanos away to do some fiend thing. Why does this keep happening?
Ratings, Matthew. You need to get the legend on TV. It's how ratings happen.
Yeah, I think this idea is not bad, but it's just repetitive. It's the wrong people. It's that the story is told out of order. Maybe that's the main problem with it. Just do it better, as we used to say.
Oh, yeah, the classic phrase of just do it better, WWE.
Sadie Lady, 59. Welcome back, Luke. Hope you enjoyed your time off. Mr. Davis, Bliss isn't supernatural. She just got the firepower from the Mario series. Also, I can't believe Asuka has been a double champ for this long and they don't call her the Empress of Tomorrow. The number two. That's very good.
That's very good. I mean, in all fairness, Sadie, like, they'd have to register the fact she's the Raw Women's Champion in order to do that. And I think they have zero interest in doing that.
Alan Metz, hello guys, thanks for making my Tuesdays and Thursday mornings better. I think Raw has Braun's tag team partner Nicholas writing the Fiend and Orton angle. I agree, too much magic.
I mean, I did see someone in the comments say that they were 17 and they think it's stupid, so maybe it's not just a kid thing, maybe it's just a personal preference thing.
Oh, but I think, you know, 15 and above, yeah, that's my age, that's where my head is always at. It's
always sort of 1999 up here.
It's your 11s and under, I reckon, that this is aimed at. Caleb Maldonado. Congratulations, your Bliss has learned the move Fire Blast, but she already knows four moves. Choose one to replace it.
Sparkle Splash, get rid of that, mate.
It's a Pokemon joke. Rich, producer Rich, has said in our private chat, so we need a water type to combat her next.
Who is a water type wrestling character? Ooh,
well, Bobby Splashley.
Of course. How can I forget?
Extinguish that fire immediately. Carol Wands, Trekkie 386. Hi, Carol. Hi, Luke and Ollie. Hope you are both well today. Raw was poor. Even a thrown together show should have been better. I really wanted to see Triple H versus Orton, but it was more of a nothing than a main event. Clickbait to get me to watch. Bliss and Orton stuff? Boo. Jam that jam.
It's a clickbait match. Like, I mean, I wrote in my notes, this match has got DQ written all over it, because there's no way Triple H is just taking a pinfall when there's been no build to it whatsoever. And you're not going to beat Orton. Triple H is not beating Orton because that accomplishes nothing. But yeah, it was like totally stick around for the third hour. It's never going to happen, but please do stick around for that. Don't switch over and watch the football. Watch us instead.
Yeah, I'm terribly inconsistent with this sort of stuff and hypocritical, because I remember saying about something very similar, like maybe it was Christian's comeback last year, where I was like, it obviously wasn't going to be a match. It was fine. Stop getting, because people were angry that there wasn't a legit match there. But this one, I was like, oh, that it?
Yeah.
I was a bit annoyed by it. So
when I saw how long of the show was left, I was like, oh yeah, this is even worse than I thought it was going to be. But like, in fairness, I suppose we'll talk about this when we get into the show. Triple H woke up yesterday morning not expecting to have a match. So like, this was, you know, really thrown together at the very, very last minute. Exactly, it's wrestling in a t-shirt. What is that old wrestling adage? Always bring your gear. Come on, Trips. You've been in this business long enough, mate. Always bring your gear.
He needs a lot. He's not getting his body out if it hasn't had like 4 months of pre-work.
That's what I thought as well. Yeah. Funny stuff, actually. Pete Gass, in his autobiography, Shane McMahon sort of invited him to be at the WrestleMania when he returns, you know, like in the Hell in a Cell match against The Undertaker. And because he was always taught, always bring your gear, he brought gear just in case, because you never know. Maybe we need to get a Pete Gass running.
Oh, love him even more. What a guy. So, we got an opening video package. What was your impressions of the video package, recapping the show you didn't see last week?
The legends were there, and it was exactly as I predicted that show was going to be. The legends show up, they say some stuff backstage, and we just move on. And like, it's nothing of substance. Like, it's literally just round of applause, Sergeant Slaughter is here. And it's just, yeah, it's the world's most expensive cameo service.
Well, that's, yeah, and Goldberg, of course. Yeah, Goldberg came back.
But Goldberg wasn't part of this video package. Like, this, because Drew wasn't on this show, they didn't do the Goldberg stuff, because the story of this night was Randy Triple H. So this was all about Randy Orton making fun of Mark Henry on a scooter.
Yeah. But the, you know, like that storyline as you saw it play out, did you hear about Goldberg's promo last week?
I listened to your podcast with Pete last week. So I heard that, you know, Goldberg cut a promo on Randy Orton, but thought he was talking to Drew McIntyre about how the fact he disrespected all the legends.
Yeah. And now Triple H is doing Goldberg's thing.
Okay, well, yeah, but Triple H's line was, so Triple H is in this, he comes out for this announcement. There's no announcement because Randy Orton comes out. Like, I don't know what Triple H's announcement was going to be. We've never found out. Mm. And Triple H says to him, was like, I've watched you for 20 years. Like, you know, I've been friends for 20 years. Like, I've watched your career grow. I brought you into, you know, WWE essentially because they were part of Evolution together. Like, you know, I know you. And when I saw you set the Fiend on fire, I've never been more proud of you. But then you made fun of Mark Henry, and that's taking things too far.
Yeah, it doesn't play right, does it? It's, yeah, he killed a man, but you wanted, I don't know, wasn't even for a title. He stood in your way.
And that was the rules of the match. Mm. Like, he killed a guy. But yeah, the rule of the match was to set a guy on fire. That's what he did.
Last minute. They wrote it at the last minute.
Wasn't it something like they were still writing, like they were writing hours 2 and 3 of the show when hour 1 was like, that's Nitro like levels.
Yeah, something like that. Well, let's be fair. It's WWE levels right now. Okay, I think we can stop calling last minute rewrites Nitro. So Triple H came out to open the show. Big surprise. I felt like the Thunderdome crowd. They were like, oh, look, there's a louder button that we can press.
Thankfully, we've got this Triple H chant already, like, Triple H, Triple H. And then he said, I've still got it.
Yeah, and then, like, AJ Styles is like, oh, hey, can I use that button? It's like, oh, no, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, sorry, no. That's where the main event starts.
So that was super loud. It was cool to see him, though. I thought it was... The payoff was a bit baiting, but this bit I was... happily surprised to see Triple H. He's always a good talker. I enjoyed his promo, his interaction with Randy. And yeah, they set up the match later and they weirdly tiptoed around the fact that Drew has COVID, or tested positive at least, by saying like, well, that match can't happen anymore. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't seen the news yet because I get up. Yeah, so I was like, what? And I like stopped and I, you know, I searched. I was like, oh my God, this, you know, Drew's tested positive. So I thought, okay, they're not going to address that Drew's got COVID. But then, you know, later on, Drew said it right away in a direct-to-camera promo.
Yeah, so I saw the news last night and then saw that Drew was going to like make an announcement to the WWE Universe or whatever it was. But yeah, like, so I knew that Triple H was going to open the show. But yeah, if you didn't see that story, that must have been like, why the hell is Triple H here? No wonder that pop was so huge. No one else saw this coming.
So just to skip ahead, because the Drew promo came later, I thought he came across so sincere, very, you know, just a great champion. Like, what a great person to represent your company in a very tough situation. Make that the cold open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Yeah, no, I agree. And like, he was, just, you know, wear your masks, abide by social distancing rules. He was very, very smart about this, very sincere. Yeah, he is top draw, like an incredible champion and a brilliant, brilliant talent that he is.
So the rest of this segment, Randy tried to goad Triple H into giving a match tonight, and the only line, as usual, that could get Triple H to agree was, oh, sorry, you've got to go and get your balls from Stephanie's purse.
He must be, I mean, he's probably said it himself in 3 different promos, but like, he must be the 10th person to use that line on Triple H to like goad him into a match. Like that it literally is the only thing. It's like, you know, when you call someone a bitch in a promo, that's how you know the feud is serious. Like that is, for Triple H, that's how you know it's serious now.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, they had to, but very late in the day.
Just like, going to be our, every now and again, like, we're just going to go like, I mean, it was late in the day. What else could they do?
It was out of their hands. Totally out of their hands. Mm-hmm. After that, we got Charlotte Flair versus Lacey Evans. Now, last week, I was like,
sorry, It's Charlotte Flair. There was a super chat that came into Fightful that called her Marine Charlotte, Lacey Evans.
That is good. So last week I thought, oh, Charlotte's turning heel on Rick because Rick made a kind of innocent mistake. It was an accident that he cost his daughter the victory. He was too horny.
He was too horny, I will give you that. But like when they showed the recap of this, like he quite clearly just tripped Charlotte. Like there was no confusion between her and Peyton Royce. He quite purposefully tripped Charlotte there because he was so horned up.
So that apparently was a botch. It was meant to come across a lot more accidental. Recorded this. And then Charlotte cut this huge promo on him. I was like, oh my God, I feel sorry for Rick. Because Charlotte's a natural heel and Rick's very good at, you know, getting emotional.
And but Rick's clearly a babyface because Randy Orton's picking on him.
Yeah, right? So either this was always the incomprehensible plan from the start, or they've changed course. Because Charlotte cuts a promo before being like, oh, it's all great. I can't stay mad at my dad. He's just a horny man. That's the way it is. And then Lacey Evans comes out, Blonde intensifies, they have a match, and Lacey wins because Rick just did three consecutive bits of interference.
Yeah. So like Charlotte had the match won from the natural selection, but like Rick puts her, Lacey Evans's foot on the ropes, and then he trips Charlotte when she's doing the suplex, the old classic, and then holding down the feet so that they can't kick out. And then Lacey and Rick celebrate. And from what I gather, they're now going to be an on-screen act together. I don't know where Peyton Royce fits into all of this. Do you remember people keep saying that Peyton Royce is getting a push because like she pinned Bayley at Survivor Series, and then she pinned Charlotte last week. It was like, wow, she's getting a push. Like, wasn't on TV this week, and there was no mention of her whatsoever. This is very much about Lacey Evans now.
Yeah. Well, she dyed her hair purplish. And I thought... Go blonde.
Well, she did that, and then she got a push off that. She won the tag titles when she went blonde, but now she's gone back to purples. Yeah, that was a mistake that she made.
So I thought this was pretty rubbish and just like a bit. Ric Flair's 71. He had a heart attack a couple of years ago. Do you want him to be working weekly in an act on TV? Apparently, that's the plan.
My bigger issue is that this completely undermines the whole Triple H Randy Orton thing, because Triple H is really, really mad that Randy Orton was mean to Ric Flair last week. You disrespected the legend of Ric Flair as one of the all-time greats. Like Triple H cuts this really fiery promo later on where he's like, "Yo, Rick doesn't care. Rick's banging Lacey Evans. He doesn't care." Like he's out here being like, "I'm horny for Lacey Evans, but I'm going to bang her in the hotel room later on. I'm tripping my daughter up on TV." He doesn't care that Randy was mean. So why is Triple H mad?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was very late in the day. Sheamus tells Keith Lee that he's earned his respect after that great main event last week, and they sort of, you know, form a little respect bromance, and Miz and Morrison come in, they're obnoxious, they set up a match for later. Jackson Ryker takes on Jeff Hardy, beats him in a minute. Jeff Hardy's like, oh, I bet I can beat Elias though, because Elias isn't as good as Jackson Ryker, and he does. And that's,
I mean, it was late in the day. So the story of this segment was, it was supposed to be Jeff Hardy versus Elias, but Elias is injured, so Elias couldn't do the match. So Jackson Ryker has the match instead. Jackson Ryker can only win because Elias distracts Jeff Hardy. And then Jeff Hardy's like, I was supposed to fight Elias. I'll have a match with him now. Elias tells Jackson Ryker, don't interfere for me. So he doesn't, and Jeff wins. Absolutely. And then they set up that there's some dissension between Elias and Jackson Ryker because they've been together for 3 weeks now, because Elias is like, why didn't you interfere for me? I mean, time's ticking on these two as a team. Like they it had to happen at some point, didn't it? So absolutely no one got over in this whatsoever. Everyone came out of this looking terrible.
Say it with me in the chat, everyone. It was very late in the day, though.
It was very late in the day, though, wasn't it?
But something I did enjoy, and I think this was my favorite thing on the entire show. I've seen people not like it, but I really liked it. And maybe it's because this story with Sheamus, Keith Lee, Drew McIntyre has been consistent. And mm-hmm. it's been going on for months. So I feel like... So Sheamus and Keith Lee had a match against Miz and Morrison. It was really fun. It was mostly to showcase Keith Lee. And Keith Lee, did you think that there was a spot where Keith Lee ran into the corner, charged on Morrison, top rope pinned off? Do you think that was a work?
I assumed it was because they went, because they used that to set up the commercial break. Like, you know, it'd be like if they'd have thrown them to the outside, that would have been like the Raw rolls on. Like it felt like it was the spot for the Raw rolls on bits. But it actually looked wicked. It looked so, so awesome because he just pounces him in this corner and the whole thing just goes like boom and just like shoots off and stuff. Morrison sells it like $1 million. Like Keith Lee's laughing and be like, oh, did you just see what I did? And Sheamus is busting a gut laugh and be like, that was so cool. This was far and away the best thing on the show. Like this one spot of the match was easily the best thing on the show.
Yep, my only complaint is that's the finish. There's a really smart finish there where John Morrison can no longer hit his Starship Pain because the top rope's gone. Like, and you can get that great interplay. But I feel like Ollie,
John Morrison's not a credible wrestler. Like, he's not a credible character in this show. So them taking out one of his arsenal, like, that doesn't help matters. Like, Miz and Morrison cut this promo on Keith and Sheamus being like, you know, what happened the last time you teamed together? I was like, they beat you. Like, that's what happened the last time they did. Like, no, you argued and stuff. You'd never get along. I was like, the last two times they've teamed together, they've won. They won a Survivor Series, and then they beat you. They are an unstoppable team.
Yeah. So, well, I thought it was a very memorable spot, and it got lost in the structure of the match. But the finish, Sheamus sort of blind tags himself in, brogue kick, he wins. Usually, that would be dissension. But instead, they laugh, they smile, they hug each other. Then we get, I think it goes to Triple H formally accepts the challenge backstage. And then we go back to the ring and Sheamus and Keith Lee are fighting. Yeah. Like they've just started brawling. And I don't think that is inconsistent with their relationship. I felt like they're actually building up this idea that they're friends, but then they fight.
Yeah, and I agree with you. But it would have been nice to have seen that.
Yeah.
Because what we saw was them win. Like Sheamus blind tags himself in and you're like, oh, okay, this is where you then set up the dissension between the two. I can't believe you guys did that. But then they're like, Keith Lee was cool with it. He was like, oh man, yeah, that was wicked because we won. So that's cool. And I'm really happy. And they hug afterwards and, you know, they shake hands, this, that, and the other. Then we cut to the Triple H thing. Then we cut back they're brawling. And I'm like, well, what happened? Where was the B part of this ABC story? If you'd have done it so like Keith Lee was not cool with it and it was like an uneasy handshake, an uneasy hug, and then you show them brawling, then that's fine. Like that is a consistent story, right? I think that the reason for them to have the match completely makes sense, but the way that WWE presented it made it make no sense. Like their own incompetence made a storyline that makes sense make no sense.
Yeah, they just cut away at the wrong time. Like,
yeah.
I agree with that. But overall, I thought it was a net positive, and that's my benchmark right now, that the good just outweighs the bad on Raw.
Yeah, it was the best thing on the show, and I really enjoyed both of the matches. I thought Billy Miz and Morrison was great, and the singles match they had afterwards was also really, really good.
Worked over Keith Lee's arm, but Keith Lee fought through that to hit a spirit bomb to win. So, yeah. Yeah, and that was, and then we got sort of like, and this happened quite a bit on the show, just chunky bits of replays because they were filling, I presume. We got another recap of last week's main event. Drew cut a promo on Goldberg, said he'll give Goldberg a lesson in respect, says Goldberg's next. Then Matt Riddle tells Lucha House Party that beating Bobby Lashley is going to be like unboxing a really tasty pizza.
Yeah, because he's Michelangelo. from the Turtles.
It was very late in the day. And then they said, this was the bit, I didn't care about that. But then they, Lucha House Party said, we'll have, you know, watch your back to Matt Riddle. And Riddle goes, how can I, bro, look at my back. I can't. And I just thought, oh my God, that might have been the moment you jumped the shark for me. Because it's like, it's season 1 to 6 Joey versus later series Joey's, where he just becomes mentally incapacitated as a human.
Yeah, by the end of Friends, it's amazing that he can tie his own shoelaces together because like they present him to be like the world's biggest thicko. Although previously he was just like, oh, he's not as smart as the other ones, because the joke is he's an actor. But yeah, like he's Michelangelo. It's leftover concept that they had when Rob Van Dam came into WWF. Like Rob Van Dam's character in ECW was like, I am Mr. Pay-Per-View. I am, you know, you pay money to watch me wrestle. But then he went to WWE and they're like, just say cool man, whatever. And that's your promo. And so like he just became a stoner guy. And that's what Riddle is now. He's Michelangelo. But like the worst Michelangelo.
Mm.
Not the good one from the 2012 reboot. Not the good one from the 2003 series, but like the annoying one from like the 87 cartoon. Like that's the Michelangelo we've got. No, actually, no, I'm gonna take that back. The Michelangelo that was in the 2003 87 crossover episode that they did, which was really quite bad. That's the Michelangelo that he is.
Yeah, I think there's a consensus on that for all the people who know the various iterations of Michelangelo. So after that, we got Xavier Woods in rare singles action against Retribution's T-Bar. I was excited. I love Xavier Woods. I think he should be the United States champion at some point this year. Especially now Kofi's injured, got a broken jaw, but Retribution's T-Bar beat him in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, Ali caused the distraction, T-Bar hit, Feasterizer, whatever they're calling it these days, and got the win. We've said this before, but like we got Donovan Dijak versus Xavier Woods on TV, and it goes 2 minutes and it feels like nothing. That should feel like a really big time match and be really awesome, but it's nothing. And man, like T-Bar's inset promo, he's so rubbish. Like this Retribution thing is so stupid. And I know that people are desperate for this to be good, because I get messages every single week being like, did you see Ali's promo on Raw Talk? Like if they just put that on TV, this group could be cool. I'm like, that's not the group though, is it? Like this group is a goofy rubbish nonsense. And yeah, he just sounds so crap, and it's so hard to take them seriously. At least they didn't have a match with Ricochet, I guess.
Orton cut a promo about his new levels of hatred, and then we got that Matt Riddle match. Now, this might have been the thing I liked least on the show, because I think it's the biggest miss of potential. Matt Riddle versus Bobby Lashley. We've seen them wrestle in the ring last week and this week, and when they wrestle, they're good. Like, and they're different. They're different to everyone else, because they're not finessed. But they are. They're totally in control of what they're doing. But it feels like they're throwing themselves at each other. It's violent. There's the sort of level of reckless violence that I really am drawn to between them. And there's the MMA background, of course, and the title, and the Hurt Business. There's a lot to like here. But they have told this story completely ineffectively. Riddle cheated to win last week, which set up, and he's the babyface, which set up a title match against heel Bobby Lashley here. And then they just did everything in reverse. All of those traditional revenge babyface spots, Lashley did. All the heel things, Riddle did.
Yeah, so I obviously listened to your podcast last week with Pete. I also listened to Sean and Denise's review. Now, Sean watches a lot of MMA. And he pointed out that what Riddle did, it's a really smart thing to do in an MMA environment, which is you make your opponent think that you've tapped out, so they release the hold. But you know that the referee isn't seeing you tap out. So it's a way for you to escape the hold without you actually having to escape the hold, right? So it's a way to sort of outsmart your opponent. But that's not the way they presented this on TV. They just said like, now he definitely tapped out and the referee didn't see it. And now Lashley's getting his revenge and just proving that he can beat him. Because like this match goes 2 minutes, you know, if that. And Lashley just taps him out. And afterwards, yeah. Riddle's like, hey, MVP, I want a match with you. I'm like, why? It's MVP didn't cheat. MVP didn't interfere in the match. Why do you want to have a match with him? And then Lashley just spears him. So I guess this feud continues, but Lashley's already won. We've already seen him win.
Well, from what I remember, kind of similar to how Jeff Hardy challenged Elias, Riddle on the ground just tapped out to Lashley, said, let me have a fight with you, MVP. I can beat you.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, what a terrible way to present a babyface. That is the Miz. That's the Miz's spot where he's just been beaten by the babyface. And now he's like, well, I can beat you then. No, I can beat you. Even though like they're not an active wrestler. I just thought, and I really want Riddle to succeed because I think he's tremendously talented. And they had something for a while, despite themselves, they had it. But now they've, this is ruined. Like this was a point of beyond repair. Riddle can't really go for the US championship in any serious way now. The matches are going to be decent if they don't get marred by a ridiculous finish or stupidly tight time constraints. But really, like, all of the fire and intrigue is gone.
But the feud will continue. I mean, you told me not just 4 weeks ago that the Elias Jeff Hardy storyline is done and they're definitely not feuding anymore. And then I'm tuned in to watch this show and they're still feuding.
Yeah, but, you know, it was late in the day.
It was late in the day.
Adam Pearce, definitely not an authority figure, booked a qualifying match for the Royal Rumble.
Right, so this segment here, AJ Styles and Adam Pearce are backstage. And AJ's like, dude, you could win the Universal Championship from Roman Reigns. I'm going to win the Royal Rumble and we'll have a match at WrestleMania. Won't that be a grand old time? And then Drew Gulak walks up and says, I want to declare myself for the Royal Rumble. And Adam Pearce says, well, you can't. You can't just declare yourself for the Rumble. And Drew points at AJ and says, but he did. And then not 2 segments later, Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke said, we declare ourselves for the Royal Rumble. So can you or can you not? Like, it's, have you got to prove yourself or can you just say that you are?
It's like they're working it out as they go. It was late in the day, yeah. So Pierce booked that match. We got it next. AJ Styles versus Drew Gulak. The stuff they did do was incredibly watchable. And Styles won in 2 minutes because Omos is just too big. So
too big.
He distracts people purely by standing there.
Yeah, I mean, he walked up to Drew Gulak while he was on the ground and it distracted him.
I do think they've done a great job presenting Omos, though. So it would be nice to see him do something eventually. We got a recap of Goldberg's career. This felt like filler. Then we got Keith Lee saying he'll be there for Triple H later on. Trip says, no, I want to do this alone. That was a nice way to bump up Keith Lee. And then we got Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler taking on Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose.
Yeah, which had the exact same finish of the Keith Lee Sheamus tag match earlier in the night, where Nia Jax has the match won, Shayna Baszler tags herself in, and she locks in the Kirifuna clutch to get the win. And there's now dissension between these teams because, as you said, you've only got so long to be a tag team, so you've got to split these guys up.
Yeah, I thought this was... The women's division has gone from one of the best things in WWE to just total rubbish. Well, on Raw, at least.
Obviously on Raw, it's really, really bad. And like, this is a great example of why it's bad. Because but they keep building these Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke matches against Jackson Baszler. And Jackson Baszler just keep winning.
Easily,
yeah. So it's not like I'm wanting to see them finally get the win over them. I'm just like, why are we still having this feud? And then because they declared themselves at the Rumble earlier as well, I'm like, well, I don't think you're winning the Rumble.
It doesn't help that they have negative chemistry together. Because Mandy Rose visibly doesn't want to be in this team. God. I just stand there and I... This will convince them that we like each other.
We've both got arms.
I'm not thinking about Sonya Deville right now. Oh, we were a good team. Oh, we did good things on SmackDown. They also had the shoehorned pop culture reference of the week when they said they'll toss people out harder than Kim Kardashian tossed Kanye West to the curb.
Is that a thing that happened?
They're breaking up, Luke.
I didn't know they were together.
Kim Kardashian and Kanye West.
Didn't they like break up years ago?
No. They got together years ago.
Oh, okay.
They've been an A-list couple for ages, and now they're breaking up. It's by the by, this was a crap joke, and it would have been dropped in any self-respecting opening monologue to a late night talk show.
You think they were hoping that Kim Kardashian would tweet about them like Cardi B did last week?
Potentially, yeah. Yeah, because
that didn't work out in my
face.
overall, Lacey Evans to ruin it for us all.
Overall, I thought this, I'm not going to give it the lowest rating because it doesn't deserve the lowest rating, even without the extenuating circumstances. But it was boring. I thought it really damaged Riddle. I wasn't a fan of the main event angle. The only thing I actually liked and properly enjoyed was Keith Lee and Sheamus, and even that wasn't perfect.
Yeah, so I had to get up at 5:30 this morning because I have another podcast outside of this I do in my personal time, and the episode had to go up live at 6:30. So I wanted to get up at 5:30 to get the edit finished so it could go up. And I was actually quite stressed out because I hadn't finished the edit, I hadn't uploaded it, and I got it finished at 6:15. So then I had the render time out for it, and I got it loaded onto the Patreon at 6:25. It was so close to the live date that Patreon wouldn't let me schedule the post. I had to just push it live when it hit 6:30. I had more fun doing that than I did watching it. It was a long, long show, and I did not enjoy a lot of it.
A big thank you to our wonderful $25 a month or more pledge hammers on Patreon. You get loads of exclusive content over there. Luke and I will be reviewing a pay-per-view, a classic pay-per-view of your choice. The vote is now open on Patreon.
Oh, do you want a live update?
Let's have a live update.
Okay, let's see where it is. Because there were some really good suggestions this month. Obviously, a lot of Royal Rumble suggestions, but some really good Rumbles in there. Let's see. The poll is loading. Come on, Patreon. Aha! So currently leading the charge is Royal Rumble 2010, which is the Edge big return. The other big Edge return. In second place at the moment. So that's got 27% of the vote. In second place with 23% of the vote is Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Oh, damn. Good show.
Yeah, yeah. So that is very, very interesting. That's with Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, Takahashi Kushida. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, so go over to Patreon, get your votes in there. And thank you to these folks who give $25 a month or more. Spoke in class today, Jeremy Smith.
Very nice. Pearl Jam. .. Dylan Cachetta.
Thank you, Dylan. Intense Frank Campos. Cheap pops things.
Woo. Michael Plowman. That's his name. That name again is Michael Plowman.
Woo. You know, I asked Rich last week if instead we can change this bit to have the Hall of Fame music playing under, as we say. But we'll just say, oh, he's just messaged. Has he done it? He didn't do it. Copyright. Damn it. Can you find one on our sound library that sounds similar? The man who wears the gold, the man recognized by Swaft Nation International as the 24/7 champion, our legend.
Nice. Golden Nick Holden.
Yes. Pick him up, Loot Sponge.
Yes. My Immortal is my favorite song, Mashy. Good for you.
The notorious Ali Atta.
Ali Atta. The good bad guy, Bryant Heath.
Black and Decker Dane.
Oh, love a Black and Decker. And lastly, timely because WandaVision starts this week, The Vision, Adonis.
I know. I'm really excited. I cannot wait.
They're putting up two episodes on Friday.
So it's only two episodes and then it's weekly?
Yeah. I know, it's like the old days of us having to wait for content.
Let's get into our Hyper Chats. Last call, wrestletalk.com/support. I'll let you take things off because this is one for you.
Yes, because they said that you won't understand it. Alexa Bliss is now a sorcerer. She cast Firebolt for 1d10 damage.
Nerd jokes. They get me every time.
Yes, some D&D. Do you want me to carry on? Rhys Johnson, good afternoon, lads. Well, Raw was rubbish, although I'm happy they seem to be pushing Keith Lee. Let's hope they keep that up and he goes on to win the Rumble. Hope he then challenges Roman Reigns and is the guy to beat him at Mania. Hope you're both well. Jam that jam.
I love the idea of pushing Keith. I think stick on the same brand. I think the story is quite there for Keith versus Drew.
Matthew Robinson, until he passed him the jacket, I did love Keith Lee, Triple H interaction. Love NXT guys having Triple H's back. It did honestly feel like he's like, can I go home, actually? Can I come back with you guys? Like, when you're done here, can I go back to Tampa? We'll share a cab. The Jam one, Ryan B. Jam. This Raw was a piss poor show. There was nothing good about it other than Keith Lee and Sheamus tag in the follow-up singles match, but even that was done in such an annoying way as they never showed what happened during the commercial break. Peter Mullen says, sounds like most of the reactions were saying how gross the Lacey Rick Big Shaz angle is. If you're trying to get the female demo, having a 71-year-old trying to bump nasties with Lacey during a COVID outbreak over caring about his daughter is not the way.
I think those two things are separate. I don't actually have any problem with the Rick Lacey thing. I think that's quite a good heel act. I think it's just irresponsible because of the pandemic.
It is weird, though, because this time last year, she was like the all-American mother, babyface going up against Bayley.
It was
the Jam one, right? Ryan B. Jan. I said this last night to SR Wrestling Denise, but Lacey Evans, Ric Flair, and Charlotte Flair storyline is like a retread of the Tori Wilson, Dawn Marie storyline, but it's on Rusev and Mike Cucking storyline levels of terrible.
Oh, well, I didn't think it was that bad. I thought it was rubbish, but I wasn't offended like some people are.
Absolutely not. I'm going to hot tag to you.
Matthew Robinson, if you have time, why not give Shayna and Nia more time? Or I am sure there is a wrestler in the back that you could make it interesting and possibly build someone new. So rather than people doing double duty.
Yeah, as I said, like you could have just given Lashley and Riddle plenty of time. You could have given like Gulak and Styles, or not exactly like two slouches. You'd be like, don't want to give them 20 minutes. They'll blow themselves up.
Peter Mullins, paper feud. The card is Triple H, Autumn, Ric Flair, MVP, Jeff Hardy, Miz, Morrison. Name that year. 2002. Nope. 2007. Nope. 2021. Well, glad we're building new stars, I guess.
Oh, man. That's Peter. That's quite a sad little thing, isn't it? Bloody hell.
Matthew Robinson, I wonder if Drew made the call to make the COVID announcement. It does seem like a classy thing that it feels more Drew than it does WWE, definitely.
Well, absolutely, because apparently like there are other people that have tested positive, but they've only named Drew. Mm. And he's the first person they've named as well. Like 100%, I think. I agree with Matthew on that one. I think that's definitely a Drew call.
Wrestling Talk Sign Guy. I'm watching the review and we'll catch up on this later. Oh, I've got a delivery. That's what that bell mill is.
Will you get delivered?
I don't know. I just keep coming. It's relentless. Loads of Farrah shirts delivered today. And I was
Farrah's making shirts.
Yeah. And I was like,
hems on them.
When did I order these? And when am I going to wear them? I don't go out the house. I'm watching the review. We'll catch up later. But regarding WWE announcing Drew has Steve Corino, in the US, a company can say someone has it, but not who. According to medical laws, Drew must have directly given consent to release that.
That's yeah, it. But WWE are not a typical US company, are they? There's a lot of things that US say a company should do that WWE do not do.
Yeah, they kind of did the reverse, where they specifically banned people from talking about it to the press,
yeah,
reportedly. DX Solo, hey! Triple H is one of my faves, but it's getting harder and harder to get excited when he has a match. I think maybe End of an Era was his last good one. Been using you lot to keep up with WWE while watching AEW, but I'm looking forward to the Rumble. Jam that jam.
Jam that jam. It could be argued that that's the same with Taker as well. I think, like, I mean, the Punk match after the year after was really great as well. But like End of an Era, the Hell in a Cell match with Triple H is like an all-time great. So yeah, so I agree completely.
Bacon Rasher. Hi, lads. Firstly, I want to say thanks for all the support last Thursday. Wrestle Talk and Swaff Nation rule. Yeah, if you didn't see that, Luke, poor Bacon Rasher lost someone due to COVID over Christmas. I'm 36 and have watched WWE for years, but Raw has been a hot mess for so long, I don't think COVID can be blamed. This was a terrible, clunky show. Jam that jam.
I was watching the news this morning, and there are people who are still talking about this thing as if it's only been 2 weeks. So, like, we're still figuring it out. It's been a year. Like, I think we pretty much know by now.
Matthew Robinson. For all the times they have torn up the script last minute, you think they could do a show last minute with ease, but I guess it was too late in the day. Peter Mullins. Credit to Fightful for this one. Jeff Elias Jackson Riker from the company that brought you 50-50 booking. 33-33-33 booking. Somehow even worse.
Was pretty great.
Hey, if Elias then beat Riker, it would be. But Riker's technically at the top of that heap. Pavipants. I really want Goldberg to go insane from so much responsibility on his shoulders, being a superhero, etc. BS. And Drew beats him passing the torch, finally letting Goldberg rest.
I mean, so I haven't actually given my thoughts on the Goldberg Rumble match. But yeah, I can totally see Goldberg winning and then setting up him versus Randy Orton for the title at WrestleMania.
God.
Alternatively, Drew retains and you still do Goldberg. Because like, if Goldberg's whole deal is about like disrespecting legends, then surely you're going after Orton, right? Like you cut a promo on him last week.
Mm. Dragon Death Cab. Welcome back, Luke. Hope your time off was relaxing. Raw is completely non-essential. SmackDown, NXT, AEW, and Impact all have television that's compelling enough to want to come back and watch, but you can skip 3 weeks here and nothing is missed.
I mean, case in point, I missed 2 weeks of this show, and honestly, it felt like I didn't miss anything at all.
Goldberg came back. Matthew Robinson, Luke, you must understand they don't have enough women, so they all must declare for the Royal Rumble. Drew needs to prove it. He can't declare. Next thing would be winning. All right. Next thing would be winning a title. LOL.
Well, is there like a list of people that have announced themselves to the Rumble? Because I feel like everyone and their mother has announced themselves to the Rumble, but Drew Gulak's the only one who's been given this proviso of you must prove yourself in order to get into the Rumble.
Probably. Kevin, I don't think I watched a full episode of Raw since the summer. If they're not invested in giving us a good show, why would I care?
Great point. A great point.
Nate Foltz, incoming from Keynes, Knox County. Good luck in the UK. We're about to have a civil war. Keith Lee is winning the Rumble and he will challenge Roman. I must admit, I think the United States TV shows jumped the shark recently. I think it's really... I don't believe the stuff that's happening anymore.
Well, I mean, ratings were a bit down, you know, after the end of season. So like they had to do something pretty wild to start the new season. And you know, I think they've done something
for a bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Our hot tag to you for the final run.
Indeed. So these are last chats coming in. Weasley 65. While I enjoyed the fireball spot, this question isn't about Raw. Is there any chance that we could at least get NXT polls on Twitter on Wednesday nights and then maybe a mention on the Thursday show? Not a proper review for NXT, just a poll on Twitter.
Maybe, but then we just run the risk of... I'm pretty set in the ways that we're doing it currently for the AEW NXT split. It's just going to... There's no good way to do it. Unfortunately, and my knee-jerk reaction to your suggestion is that it's just going to create people comparing NXT to AEW.
And also, I don't want to be, you know, a stick in the mud or spoil anything for you, but it will just get good. Like that, everyone will just vote for it being good because this week's Raw was voted good by the faithful who are watching us.
We could see how. I'll make a note of it.
Zachary Jenkins, I finally convinced my best friend to watch a match, and so I picked Lee versus Dijak at TakeOver Portland. He popped for all the spots, and at the end, he was like, I love this Keith Lee.
Yeah.
Keith Lee's great. Kevin says, Bucks and Omega will come out to different entrance tunnels for their trio match. Will this play into something?
Ooh. Yeah, no, no. I was excited.
Ewan Price says, sorry, non-WWE question, but as I'm a key worker, I can't always watch the AEW podcast review, but what do you think of the idea of TK being in Moxley's corner against Omega, or TK helping Moxley to retain the title back? Love Omega, but Moxley is too good.
No. I don't want Tony Khan to be an on-screen character. I don't know about you.
No, I agree. Like, and I don't think it kind of undermines the Moxley character if he's then needing Tony Khan's help to win the belt back. Charles Berg says, Ollie, I'll be honest, I'm a bit upset with you disrespecting my palate. For the record, if I want chocolate, I go to La Maison du Chocolat on Newhouse. I also make delicious food. I'll send you some pictures if you need proof. Some people eat to live, I live to eat. Was this in response to you saying that Hershey's chocolate is disgusting? Because it is.
It's got a vomit aftertaste. But I said... Yeah. That's nostalgia. It's just you don't recognize how bad it is. That's not your fault, Charles.
But no, like, there's also there was a scientific test that was done to say that if you are not from the US, Hershey's tastes like vomit because Americans' taste buds have been just warped by all of, like, the GM and like the products and stuff that they inject into their food. Dylan Haggard says,
you sounded a bit like Alan Partridge in that episode where he's talking about the. The 12-foot tall chickens. I'm pretty sure.
I was going to say I'm pretty sure. A bat.
I'm pretty sure it's there's some chemical substance in Hershey's chocolate that is shared in vomit. Like it's something to do with the way it smells and tastes, as opposed to
what I said.
People being pumped full of chemicals.
Oh, I mean, how else can the Americans not taste that bit? And I mean, Denise sent me a load of stuff from America. You read those labels, man. It's letters and numbers, and that is all that's on there. Dylan Haggard, hey guys, love the channel. Any chance we could see WrestleTalk collaborate with the AEW with the AE podcast? Also, when Ollie getting on going in Raw's match chat. You've been invited on to go into a match chat.
I haven't been invited.
Oh, I got invited. So I guess you'll just have to sit and wait and see if you get an invite.
With the AE podcast, that'd be great.
Oh,
great,
that'd be so good. Yeah. I love the AE podcast. It's one of my favorite shows. It's so great. It's my new favorite thing at the moment is Kevin's impression of old Vince McMahon. Like, like current Dave Vince McMahon is like, Tiki's, he does it way good. Tiki's, thank you for making my mornings. Your channel and podcast is what I listen to on my commute to work. Much love and hugs from Tina in Seattle.
Thank you, Tina from Seattle. Thank you. That's very kind of you to say.
Raffman says, Mr. Davis, could you please tell us something about the novel you're writing? Like something about the plot. Thanks. I heard that you finished the first draft, man. Congratulations.
Oh, right, that one.
It was getting a bit too close to the wire. I did wonder if you were going to get it finished.
3 days before the end of the new year. So that one, it's what's the easiest way to sum it up? Elevate the pitch. Should have worked on this. It's like Willy Wonka had a tech smart society and someone goes in there. Someone's an internet troll hunter. They're looking for a troll and it takes them to sort of Elon Musk style fantasy land.
I've known Ollie for a long time, and he's talked about this book for quite some time, and I've heard lots of various different bits about it. But I cannot tell you how excited I am to actually finally read it.
Thank you.
I'm really, really stoked for it, and that's made me even more excited. And lastly, from Dylan Haggett, who says, "Hey guys, pick five wrestlers each that you'd have as retribution members with Ali." I'll go. Dijak. Dion Madden, Mia Yim, Ali, and Shane Thorne. And I'd present them as a cool faction.
Mm. Pick five wrestlers each that you'd have. So more people to join Retribution?
Well, but I think what Dylan's asking is like, just sort of pick five wrestlers that you would have in Retribution. But So if they've got to be as part of this current Retribution, then I don't want to pick anyone because I wouldn't wish that upon anyone to be part of because it's a death group to be in.
You know what? You could just screw it, Miz, right? Just put the people who are clogging up the main event at the moment. Braun Strowman. Who else is sort of Charlotte Flair?
Lacey Evans.
Nia Jax.
Nia Jax, yeah. There you go. Now, you said in the intro there that not much has happened to you, but I know that is not the case because you and your partner have got massively into playing Horrified.
Yeah, well, we got some board games. We've been into Phenomena. Do you love board games? Our board game channel, headed up by Blompier.
Do you like board games? Then...
Very good. It's nice because I don't resent Anna much for not being into wrestling. Do I, Anna? I think she's got her headphones in. She's sitting, what, like a foot away from me right now? We're just separated by a big backdrop. But she's gotten into board games. So it's like we're building a shared collection. Mm. It feels like ours. One of them was Horrified, a game based on the sort of universal monsters from the classic era of the sort of 30s, 40s. And yeah, it's really good. I love it. I think it's got a lot of layers. But I'm also not as experienced in board gaming as a hobby to say, but the scoring system needs work. I don't know that. I'm ignorant.
Well, I mean, I don't think the scoring system does need work on Horrified because I think it's a really, really great game. I love it. I thought it was awesome. I've only played it the once. Played it around a friend's house because he got it on like a pre-order thing and they printed it in quite a small quantity. So when I played it, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I need to get myself a copy. Could not get one for love nor money. Now they are a bit more mass printed and it was available everywhere until I decided that I wanted to buy myself a copy. And I had some spare funds to be able to buy one. And now it's sold out everywhere. So I'm on like a couple of like mailing order lists of like, I don't know if it's available on Amazon, but I'm trying not to buy things from Amazon at the moment. I'm trying to support smaller businesses.
How's that working out for you?
Well, I did it all over Christmas. We didn't buy a single thing from Amazon over the Christmas break.
Arrived?
It all arrived, yeah. I mean, it provided its own problems because it all got sent to my in-law's house. Like, purposefully so, because that's where we were supposed to be for Christmas. But then we weren't there for Christmas. So we've got no gifts to give to each other. It was actually great, man. Like, and it's not even that much slower of shipping and stuff. I think we got used to the idea that Amazon's like, you order it and it arrives to you within a couple of hours.
But I have submitted to our overlords. King Amazon, the Google Empire.
I mean, he's listening in your house because you've got an Alexa in your house that is listening to all of your various different queries and demands.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. If that is the trade-off to being easily to say, play me some Taylor Swift right goddamn now, then fine. Listen to every inopportune moment. I mean, I wonder if Hulk Hogan's got one because this was exactly what he counseled against.
It is, yeah. I mean, but like the point I was going to make was is that, you know, we kind of got used to Amazon being like, hey, we'll get it to you within 12 hours of you ordering it. So when, you know, you order from a website, it says, oh, we'll get this to you within 1 to 2 days. You're like, oh, God, what? Take forever, why don't you? Actually, 1 to 2 days is totally fine.
That's how it used to be. I thought we were talking, you know, Topshop, Top Man, those sorts of brands.
And how they've gone out of business.
They've sort of gone out of business. And me being totally out of touch with what the kids wear, because I actually thought kids wore Topshop. No, they don't. That was one of the problems. But apparently one of the big things was it's because they didn't keep up with the times, man. You need to be able to get that like same day or next day delivery. Topshop or whatever still takes like a week.
I used to work for a company that was an online company. Like their name had .com in their name. That's all. Like they formed in like the .com boom era where you're like, you know, buying up these sort of names. And like your business name is a .com business name. And all of their business was done over phones. It was quite incredible to like work for this website where it's like, oh man, this website doesn't actually do anything because at the end of the day, you still have to call someone up to like process things. This is not a .com business.
Yeah, it's like startups. People just put startup at the end of a business and go, hey, She's got a new hat. it's really just a normal business with a flashy name.
Yeah. So I had my tooth taken out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I should explain. That whistling when Luke talks, that is the sound of air passing in and out of that gap.
There's no whistle, is there?
No, of course not. Oh,
thank God for that.
Hey.
How sick I was laughing. But yeah, no, I had it taken out. Do you want a fun fact, actually, that I haven't told you yet about me having my tooth taken out?
Always.
So I had to have my tooth taken out because I had a filling in it 7 years ago. That filling did its job for a little bit. Then I had to have root canal on that tooth. Actually, long-term listeners of this podcast will remember when I told the story of me getting a root canal on this very show. And then that root canal has caused its own problems where it fractured the tooth. So I had to have that tooth taken out. So my big three things that I've had at the dentist in the last 10 years have been on one singular tooth, which I find very, very frustrating. It's also cost me a fucking fortune. Like, the rerouting that they initially quoted me was £1,600.
Rerouting sounds like connecting wires back up.
Like, well, that's essentially what it is. Just reconnecting like the nerve endings in your gums and stuff, because that's what was hurting. So in the end, they decided we're just going to take the tooth out. The way that my dentist decided to do that was to do it in four chunks, essentially. So rather than just sort of like take the tooth out, he just snapped it in various places, and it came out in four different parts. And I was there, like, I'm on the chair thing, right? And it feels like it's taking ages. Like, I felt like I was there for like 20 minutes or whatever while he was just like drilling and stuff. And then I heard this like almighty snap in my mouth. And he said to me, like, he's like, you'll hear a snap. That's good. Like, a snap's a good sound. And so I hear this almighty snap, and I'm like, brilliant. Finally, there it is. That's the tooth. No, that was just the filling. That was just the filling that he was taking off. And he was like, he hasn't even started yet. So it was just a lot of that, just waiting for him, just like wrenching and wrenching and wrenching to hear that snap. So I had to hear that snap about four times.
What was it like? You know, like some sort of sounds just go right through you? Was it like that every time, or did you build up a tolerance?
I think I built up a tolerance to it. I've gone private, folks. I know, right? Because I'm fancy now, living out in the country. So I've gone private. And they had a TV screen above me that was showing lovely nature documentary thing that was based around the sea. So it was just lots of nice fishes. So I was basically there with Echo the dolphin. And that calmed me a little bit. Then I just shut my eyes because I couldn't take it anymore.
It almost becomes taunting after a while, calming scenes of nature bits of tooth ripped out of your face.
I'll tell you what becomes like torture and tormenting is that it turns out that he was streaming it from Netflix. And after a while, it came up with saying, are you still watching? And obviously, I've got this big like plastic thing in my mouth, so I can't go, can you click the thing and start again? Or can you put Brooklyn Nine-Nine on or something so I can, you know, watch something else? Also, that'd be a really good way for me to gauge how long this is taking.
Or if it started auto-playing into, like, I don't know, what's the worst thing that could happen? You wouldn't like Dexter?
Well, I mean, Dexter's like, he's killing people with drills and stuff. And I've got a drill inside my mouth.
But you don't like the show Dexter? Or is that just situational?
Well, situational.
Pick something else. Like, what's the worst thing you've seen on Netflix that genuinely you didn't like? Because I know you like a lot of bad stuff.
I do. Although, I mean, I have heard, I've not seen it yet, but Bridgerton is very bad from what I've been told. my mum was not a fan of it whatsoever. Mm. And my wife tried to watch it and she was like, yeah, your mum's right. It is pretty poor.
Okay, well, you're stuck with Bridgerton. And then you've got that kind of locked in syndrome where you can't say anything. Your mouth is all up. Did you have the sort of like Wallace and Gromit mold in your mouth?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it kept popping out as well.
So
new ones in. Anyway, so here's the fun fact that I was told afterwards. If I sneeze, I've just got to let the sneeze out. Because now that I've got a gap in, like, there's a gum there, right? So there's a gap where a tooth would have been. The sort of like filling between that and your sinus is really, really thin. So if I if I sneezed, but I like hold it in, like hold my nose, I could create a new air hole in my gum and air would just shoot out of that. I know, right?
Wait, so the tooth you had out is on the top, top row? Right, I didn't know that. Oh my God. So you've just got like a cavern behind your face. It sounds like you've got it. Have you got a cocaine problem? You've taken so much cocaine, your teeth have fallen out and turned into an extra nostril.
The noughties were a wild time.
Oh my God.
But he did that. He tricked me essentially because he just like goes, can you just do this with your nostrils? I was like, what? And he's like, yeah. Just do that. I was like, so I did it. He was like, yep, just add again, just really hard. I went, and then he said, okay, just one more time. And as I did it, he held my nose. So obviously you got like that. But what he was doing was testing to see whether it would create a new air hole and he'd have to give me stitches. But it didn't create a new air hole. So he was just like, for the next 3 months, if you sneeze.
3 months?
Yeah, if you have to sneeze, like just sneeze. Yeah, he said like 12 weeks. Just like if you have to sneeze, just sneeze. Like don't hold it in because you can't create a new air hole. I know, right?
This has added a new layer of tension to our records. Your nose start to go, I'm going to be very worried. Your mouth is going to explode with blood and air.
Blood just starts coming out and everything.
How do you feel about that? Are you worried? Have you had the sensation of want to sneeze?
I get hay fever a little bit, yeah. But like, and I'm a repeat sneezer. I get it from my dad. Like my dad, if he sneezes, it's 10 times or it's nothing. So like this morning I had to sneeze a good 6 sneezes in a row. So like it was just, and I was conscious of it as well. Like every single one, just let it out. And like I told my wife this and she was like, oh, that's all right. Because you hold your sneezes in all the time. I know what she said was you never hold your sneezes in. And I was like, oh, but when you're asleep and I'm trying not to wake you up, I will like try and like hold a sneeze in because I'm trying not to make a loud noise and wake you up. I did it literally this weekend. But now I've got to let those bad boys out.
Is there any possibility that the dentist is doing a rip?
He's just messing with me. He's like Is it like the dentist from Little Shop of Horrors, but it's a mental torture that he's created for me.
Do you think he's on his dentist podcast, which is entirely about fooling patients?
Yeah. Oh, you'll never guess what I told this kid that came in.
Or maybe it could be good. You've essentially got another thing to breathe through.
Yeah, I'm actually the next evolution of humankind is to have another airway in
what
my
would
mouth.
Maybe that's it. I was going to say, what is your X-Man name? Airway. Pretty sure that's a Transformer.
I think it might be Airway. I like that. That's good. Mm. So that's my tooth taken out. It feels very weird. I can stick my tongue like in the gap. Like it's way bigger than I thought it would be.
Can you get a booger?
Sorry again?
Can you get a booger if you reach your tongue up far enough?
I don't think so, no. I haven't tried that far yet.
Push through the membrane.
You'd think it's so far at the back, like because it's my second tooth, that it'd be quite small. But the gap's actually
massive,
quite large.
Yeah, massive teeth at the back, yeah.
Yeah, big chompers. So I'm just chewing on one side at the moment, on my right-hand side, which was difficult eating a bagel this morning. I can tell you that for free.
Soup here on out?
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to like carry on as normal because it doesn't hurt. It just feels weird. Mm. Like I think that's my overall takeaway. Like, my mum texted me this morning being like, you okay? And I was like, yeah, it just feels weird.
You'll get used to it in no time.
Exactly.
Have you got like any like retainers or stuff on the back of your teeth?
I have not, no.
So when I had braces as a kid and when they were taken off, I've still to this day got a metal bar behind my top row of teeth. Oh, and when it was fitted, I was like, this was not the deal I was sold. I've had braces on for 2 years. I thought these were off now. And I was inconsolable for a few days. And then I completely forgot they were there. And I've never noticed them since. So maybe it's like that. But if you start to grow another nose there, could be more problematic.
Maybe that's why like they're trying to push me to get like a bridge or an implant or something to replace the gap.
If we don't plug these teeth holes, there's gonna be noses growing aplenty.
Oh man. Oh, when I had braces, when I was a teenager and I had braces, I had the full headgear and everything. So like my, I don't know if I've told you this before, but like my, I had quite bad teeth. I still do, really. I think, you know, it's what the Americans will tell us. And so I had a brace that was joined. So my top and bottom row were joined. And there was like a little shelf for me to put my tongue on. And then I had the headgear around as well that would tighten so that I could, like, it would just lock itself in place. And I had to wear that at school.
Oh, not even a nighttime one.
Nope.
Do you think there was a...
And, oh, then I had a separate one for the nighttime one, but it was the same deal.
And then there was a radio show at the time just for dentists. What a dentist would say, you'd never guess what I've got this kid to put on his head at school.
Oh my God.
He only needs it at nighttime.
90s dentist just running wild, being like, I made this kid wear headgear for a full year at school.
If it isn't too traumatic for you, any nicknames kids gave to you?
To be honest, after a while, people just sort of like, you know, they just move past it. Like at first it was, you know, like a, you know, it's a bit of a freak show thing. But after that, it's just, I mean, to be honest, I was bullied for so many other things. Like this was just another one to add to the list. Like, you
check out,
you know, I was wearing a hoodie that had the band Korn on it. Like I already had a target on my back. Just me having a head brace was just nothing new.
Could the hood fit over the head? The headgear.
Yeah, but you can't wear that in like class, can you? Because you know you have to wear like your jumper and your tie and whatnot. Cool. Do you want to end the show there then?
I was going for some dead air.
I know.
I was. You can't see it, but obviously me and Luke can see each other. I was like, who's going to say the wrap up? Well, chicken. I win.
Also, I've got this on my desk at the moment. This is gauze in case I start bleeding.
Oh, wow.
Shove that into the gap. Anyway, that's all we've got time for this edition of the podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back with the AEW review on Thursday, and then we'll have the magazine show, a very special magazine show this coming Friday, which I'm very, very excited about. We're going to do some announcements about that at some point soon. And then it's the SmackDown review on the Saturday. But until then, take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.